The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kalei Vaitalon, it says right there.
Mm-hmm.
Kalei Vaitalon. You ever ask your parents why they went EY instead of just Y?
I don't know, man. It was the 80s. It was weird.
It all comes down to the 80s.
I mean, I've asked that. The answer is that was the guy's spelling in the 80s.
Poor responses by parents to questions that really are interesting to you about yourself.
Yeah.
And their decision making always was disappointing.
Yeah, that was basically the answer I got. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't know about you. The only male Kellys I can name don't have an EY. Kelly Slater, Kelly Olynyk. I don't even know who else I'm missing. That's about it.
Kelly Olynyk.
Olynyk.
Jason Weingart standing
Oubre.
By. Paul Sporer about to happen. Kelly from Bad News Bears. Larry Fresh, Sweet Hat. Always talking about the JVT hat that we were going to see again. It's the minor league baseball team, but with the kimchi. Yeah, it's kimchi coming out of a jar there. That's interesting. Okay. Thank you, Larry Fresh. Mikey P. How do you break down your outright golf bets by unit, Kelly Bidlin? I assume he's asking you.
Yeah, good question. I mean, if you see a card where I have, I guess there's not one that I have this week, but if you see outrights and then a top 20 play on a guy and then a tournament matchup, those top 20s and tournament matchups that are usually a little closer to even odds, those are about 4 or 5 times what I'm betting on outrights. So that way to compare it, I guess that helps. But of course, yes, I'm betting more money on the 14-1 on Colin Morikawa than I am on 65-1 to Daniel Berger.
Scott C. at C. Scotty Books. He says, Matty Cox uncensored on VSiN++. He's got the X capitalized. James Sott. You have to be invited by friends to hang out. Laughing emoji. JVT's line towards us.
JVT's always, he's always got to come back locked and loaded.
Ready to go. C. Spackler also said, yeah, what JVT said. We're taking incoming, Kelly. Nish Gandhi says, I have Bencic 6-1 to win the second quarter. Thanks, guys. At what point do I hedge a little? Nish, I made the bet because I believe in the handicap, so I'm not. You know,
And I'm not, because it's tennis. I'm just letting it ride. I'm trusting Gil and letting it ride.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. But of course, that's a personal decision. You know, she is either a dog or is, you know, right about a sort of a coin flip with Coco Gauff today. I like Bencic to win this one. Have her as a bet. Matt Trudel, watching a numbers game online and loving Gil and Kelly hand out their picks. But the on fire VSiN, I guess there's one mode that is playing last night's show. Website live feed is good. So we get a lot of technical analysis from our listeners and what's working, what's not. Let's see here. Okay, and we can go on with these tweets. But we have so much baseball to talk. Let's get to Paul Sporer, because Paul Sporer has got season longs, and he's been kind enough to scour for us. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at Sporer, Sporer. He works at FanGraphs. When he was on last time, we talked about all kinds of different things that he does. You know, the football life, Bill Belichick, or football life, Joe Gibbs. This is a baseball life, Paul Sporer. He lives like an entire life that is just inundated with nothing but baseball. We should all hope to be like him. He joins us now from Austin, Texas. What's happening, man?
Not too much. I wouldn't go that far that everyone should strive to be like me, but thanks for having me on. It's good to see both of you.
What's with the sweatshirt? What's on the sweatshirt here? What do you got? Pink Panther. There you go. All right.
Yeah, JVT trying to show him up, but wasn't on camera.
Yeah.
Describing things for us to Google.
Dueling guests with their sartorial choices. All right, let's start, Paul, with some individuals, because you've done teams with us on multiple occasions thus far in March. The season, once again, begins in 5 days with 2 games between the Dodgers and Cubs back-to-back days, and then starts in earnest on March 27th. So what's that, 15 days from now where everybody plays. So this is happening. Let's start with home runs. What did you come up with there?
So home runs, you know, it's a wide open one. You got your super faves. Maybe it's not wide open because if Judge stays healthy, it'll be tough. But he doesn't stay healthy all the time. He's got that gigantic body. We also know that Shohei Ohtani's plate appearances going to get some fewer plate. Like they're gonna play it easy with him. They backed up his pitching program. So those are the two like mega faves. You know, we're not going there because why? Why am I going to lock up money for 6 months on that? So we got to start to look off the board a little bit, or down the board a little bit, I should say. And I do have one that's like way low, but we're going to start with Fernando Tatis Jr., who, you know, plus 2000, I still think there's an MVP here. You look at what he did last year, and I think sometimes people take away the raw numbers and say, oh, he went 21-11. Obviously, the steals don't matter for our purposes here, but I hear that a lot in the fantasy circle. He went 21-11. That's it. It was 102 games. He had 21 homers in 102 games. His slug, his ISO, two power metrics, they got back up last year from the down 2023 that he did have, because he did hit 25 homers in 141 games in 2023. So I think the shoulder was feeling better. I know it is kind of an ever-present thing that kind of looms over Fernando Tatis Jr., but my man is 26. He is still remarkably young. And again, I think there's MVP caliber play in that bat, and that could include, you know, a big 45, 50 plus homer type season. So I think Fernando Tatis is an interesting guy in that favorite realm. And I have an AL version with Brent Rooker, definitely a much less known player comparatively, but he's going to a minor league stadium this year in Sacramento. He cut up Oakland, which isn't like the most difficult place to hit homers in if you have real manpower like Rooker does, but it's a spacious place. The real reason that it played like a pitcher's park, though, was that, you know, eight million acres of foul territory. So, you know, you could get a lot of caught outs there in foul territory. So it really wasn't like the craziest park to hit home run, or the most difficult park to hit home runs in. But going to a minor league stadium for half your games there for Brent Rooker, that's huge. This guy has made fundamental changes. He's one of those analytics guys, like we hear on the promo from Barkley on your show, because he dove into the analytics and saved his career. He was like a DFA, designated for assignment, gone. Twins didn't want him. Royals didn't want him. Latches on with the A's and has become an absolute stud. So I love Brent Rooker, and I think tearing up a minor league park for half your games could be huge. Then we start trickling down a little bit more. You want to talk about a guy who's shown a ton of power over the last few years and is finally going to a great park. I take you to Texas, my home state here. Well, my home state's Michigan, but where I live, Jake Berger going to Texas. It's not the most amazing park to hit in, but my man was hitting 29 bombs in Miami. That is a difficult place to hit for anybody. Mainly because you're on the Marlins, so you have to like deal with that mentally every day. Like, damn, I'm the Marlins. But also because it's a big park.
Yeah.
And he ripped 29 there.
Damn,
and
so, I'm on the Marlins.
You know, he went from the White Sox to the Marlins. And I know the White Sox suck, but at least it was a good park. So that shift was tough for him, but he did not bat an eye. Now he goes to Texas, which is more of a neutral park to hit homers. But again, man strength, real power. When I mean that, I'm just mean like pure power. He's not somebody who needs to take advantage of his surroundings to hit homers. I think Jake Berger could play 155 games this year and really go off. Former first rounder, has a really interesting story too, if you want to dig into it. Fought through a lot to get here and finally be established, and now finally on a good team. I'm really rooting for Berger just in his general story, in addition to the home runs. He's plus 6,500. And then the long shot. And this one is pure environment based. We're staying in Texas, a little Texas two-step here. Isaac Paredes. Don't say Isaac Parades or something. You're going to sound so white, it's going to be super embarrassing. Isaac Paredes. And he is a pull hitter to the nth degree. And when he was in Tampa Bay, they have a pretty low wall there in right, in left, excuse me. He's a right-hander. And then even like a little jut out there that makes it even lower. So he's just ripping homers there in Tampa Bay. He goes to Chicago. It is not the same thing. So when he went to the Cubs, that trade did not look good because he didn't really thrive there. Cubs realized that, to their credit. They said, we got to get this guy the heck out of here. Turns out Kyle Tucker was available. And so you definitely want to dig into that. But this was a really good trade for Houston because the Crawford boxes is where Bregman made his name for years when he ripped 45 homers, just eating up those Crawford boxes. Those are very close. I think Paredes, he's a big time long shot, plus 11,000 here, but he is somebody who could get going. He's got a 30 homer season under his belt. Could he steamroll and go and drop like a 50 burger? I think he could. It is a long shot for a reason. Let's be clear on that. But I really like Isaac Paredes in Houston as my mega long shot.
All right. Tatis Jr., 20-1. Brent Rooker, 30-1. Then who was after him?
Jake Berger.
Jake Berger, 65-1, and Isaac Paredes at 110-1 from Paul Spohr. Real quick before the break, because we want to get to a bunch of awards. Strikeouts. Garrett Cole, obviously, Tommy John surgery. He's out of this. Nope. So this changes the dynamic, yes?
It does. Let's be honest, though. He was probably not the favorite anyway, but that takes a big dog off the board. You know, on this one, it is tough because I look at the faves. I see Skeens, Crochet, Scooble up there, and I totally get it. I wish we could get a better number on Snell. Stupid books being smart, because I think he could see an innings boost with the Dodgers. They're known for kind of like curating their innings and really tightening up their pitchers. But look at somebody like Tyler Glasnow, who is a lot like Snell. When he was healthy and upright, he was going 6-7 innings every time out. I think that's going to be Snell. If he's healthy, he's going to go, but that means he's more of a favorite. So I like somebody like Cole Reagans in Kansas City, 25-1. Came over from Texas and has been an absolute godsend for them. He is their ace. He's a total stud. But a little bit deeper down the board is somebody named Robbie Ray. You might have heard of him. He's on your favorite team, Gil.
Uh-huh.
And he has a Cy Young to his name. And he called up Tarek Skubal from my favorite team and said, hey, you got a changeup I could work with? And Skubal gave him everything. Videos, pictures, grips, all of it. He's going to be having a changeup now to combat righties a bit more. He's already been a strikeout asset before. So I really like Robbie Ray at 45-1. He's my favorite on the strikeouts. Only two names there because I don't run too deep. Reagan's as a little bit more of the favorite. Ray as a little bit of the long shot.
Reagan's 25-1. Robbie Ray, the Giants at 45-1. Love it. All right. Awards. Major League Baseball awards. Paul's got abundance of thoughts. That's on the other side. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to stay, perfect Vegas getaway. I got just the idea for you. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering you 15% off at three incredible properties, Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSIN15. That's VSIN15. Book your stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSIN15 to get 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. You ever stayed in a room at Circa? Have you looked?
No.
I haven't either.
We've had this conversation before. I feel bad bringing it back to it. Did you ever stay
at the D when we were there?
No.
I didn't either.
No. There was many times, though, I thought about when I was doing the show on Sunday, how silly it was. I was doing Live Bet Sunday with Dustin. I thought how silly it was. I was driving home at 5 p.m. just to turn around and drive back up there at 5 a.m.
Here's the most common review we hear about Circa. Once again, what is it? You remember what it is?
Great water pressure
in the showers,
which I love because that is, I would be one of those people to tell you that too.
But what other hotel in the world do you get the most consensus opinion is, man, that water pressure was fantastic.
Because I think it's very up and down hotel to hotel. Yeah. Like it's never steady either. You've got something to say about water pressure at every hotel you stay in.
Maybe Derek should lead with that. So forget like Circa Swim and the sports book. Maybe she'd be like, our water pressure is amazing in the showers.
I like it.
Check it out. Paul Spohr joins us now once again from Austin, Texas. Was kind enough to talk home runs and strikeouts with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, he works at FanGraphs, the baseball metrics Bible online, if you will. And Sleeper in the Bust. You still doing the Sleeper in the Bust podcast?
Absolutely. We're churning them out here in draft season. Biggest time of the year for us, for sure.
All right. He's a fantasy maniac. By the way, one ruling, because you mentioned Rooker here in the last segment talking about home runs. The Athletics clearly are not the Oakland Athletics. They're clearly not yet the Las Vegas Athletics. They're playing in Sacramento, but we're not going with Sacramento Athletics. They're just going to appear. No. They're just going to appear as Athletics.
Everything to be as annoying as possible for the organization. It's so stupid. It's ruining everything for like websites and stuff. When they're going like the share route, we're just the Athletics. Get out of here. I hate that. I think that is so terrible. John Fisher, don't get me started. I'll say some.
Oh, Paul, just to add on, I believe it has been messing with John Brown and Brendan Mendez, who do all of our graphics stuff back there, because it's all getting sorted by city, and it's, hey, there's no longer a city attached to it. Great.
And And, you know, I talked about the game I work for, Out of the Park Baseball. We went live this week. We can't make any references to Oakland either. So they got to go, like, make sure all that's sharpened up because the current team cannot be referenced as Oakland. So, yeah, it's just, come on, man. What are we doing over there?
Yeah, if you look at, like, your standings on at ESPN.com, it's all the cities and then Athletics right in the middle.
So stupid.
So stupid. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my.
It's stupid.
All right, let's get to awards. This is always fun. Where do you want to start here? Want to start with MVP or where do you want to go?
Yeah, let's start. Let's just start at the top.
Okay.
MVP, it's always fun. And, you know, I'm got to start at the AL MVP and talk about Mike Trout still. I know that sounds crazy because it is. Let's be honest. And we're only getting 16, right? We're not getting crazy odds because they know better. But we saw even last year in the small time he played, he's still a superstar. He just needs to stay healthy, which he doesn't, right? I get it, right? It's the same. We have the same battle in fantasy every year right now where it's like, why do you keep drafting him? Well, the price keeps going down, thankfully. But I'll just give a little trickle shot out there to Trout. It's like a quarter unit type of thing. I wouldn't get silly with it. But I do think voters will be motivated to give him an award if he was able to play like a .140 at Troutian level, even though that team will suck. We've gotten beyond the like team context driving MVP stuff, which is good. However, to go back to one that's on more of a quality team, Jose Ramirez, 15-1. He just keeps churning out brilliant seasons. Love him in the American League. Then my long shot stays in that division and goes to that team that absolutely collapsed last year, which thanks as a Tigers fan, thank you, because the Tigers don't make it without the Twins collapsing. But Royce Lewis is somewhat Troutian in nature in that we're just dying for him to stay healthy. Now, he does not have Trout's legacy by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a former top pick, I think number one overall, in fact, has dealt with tons of injuries coming up through the minors. And then last year on the opening day, you got the perfect microcosm of Royce Lewis in a nutshell. Homer, double, injury out for 3 weeks. Like it would not have been more of the Royce Lewis experience, but he's down here at 65-1. And I still believe that when fully healthy, if fully healthy, let's say if, because it hasn't been a when yet, right? Let's be honest. But that's why we're getting 65 here. I still believe he has that kind of premier talent on a quality team, which again, doesn't matter as much, but you still don't mind, right? I didn't want to give you three guys on garbage teams because some voters do still let that trickle in or at least be a tiebreaker. I don't agree with that on an individual award. Give it to the best player. They're like, well, then we're not doing most valuable. We're doing best player. Yeah, we should be. That's really what it is. This whole value thing, turning it into a team award is stupid to me because it's an individual award. But anyway, rant over on that. Let's go to the NL. NL, obviously, I got to give a shout out to Fernando Tatis. Now, he's a favorite, right? He's third behind Shohei and Soto at just 8-1. But I mentioned him as an MVP caliber player in the home run segment. If I'm doing the home runs, I'm probably going to throw a little trickle on the award there too, because I really do think he can get it. He'll get one in his career, in my opinion. Lindor, MVP 2 last year. And in any other year, he probably gets it. But then Shohei had to go 50-50 on him and make it a little bit too difficult. He's not going to go 50-50 again. I talked about that in the first segment as well. Shohei is still going to be great. I understand why he's still the mega favorite. But give me Lindor at 16. I really like that. And then a little bit further down, this guy did not he was part of the team last year that was snake bitten, those Atlanta Braves. I like Matt Olson. I think Matt Olson can drop an MVP caliber type season. He's sitting there 40. And, you know, this is the kind of guy who's already had a 50 homer type season under his belt. When he gets going, he can even bring the average with it because he can't just do the homers. You know, we see, or else Pete Alonso would probably be a better MVP candidate every year, but he can have that all around game. And he can put up some really gaudy runs and ribbies numbers being part of that Atlanta team. So the real, even though he doesn't play a great defensive position at first, he plays a fine first, but it's not a premier defensive position. I still think Matt Olson can very much get in the mix. He's my long shot in the NL.
Yeah.
You have on those before we move to the next one?
Yeah, of course, Shohei's going to pitch too, right? So that's the problem in the NL, right?
Right. Well,
yeah.
Allegedly,
right.
We don't really know yet. Like, I mean, they're moving it back. I think he'll eventually pitch this year, but they've been very wishy-washy on it.
They have been. I will give you that. So again, so in the American League, the names mentioned, Mike Trout, Jose Ramirez, and the third one was
Royce Lewis.
Royce Lewis. By the way, I just made a bet on the Twins' most wins in March, April. So if Royce Lewis could do it throughout March, April, I would really appreciate that and not get hurt. And then your NL, once again, the trio was?
Tatis, Lindor, and Matt Olson.
Tatis again in both categories, home run and MVP. The only other thing, like the Trout stuff, like, you know, by the way, Royce Lewis was the number one pick in the 2017 Major League Baseball draft, just to clarify what you were saying earlier. I believe it was the 2009 draft where the Angels went Randall Grichuk, Mike Trout back to back.
In that order,
right? Which we always bust on Randy for that. He loves that. But you know, if you all the injuries, just to give you an idea how you think of Mike Trout or think of a peripatetic player like Grichuk, Mike Trout career has 954 RBI. Randy has 602. That just tells you like how much Trout has been hurt, right? When it gets to counting stats. And think about how you think of those players. It's not that big of a gap because of all the injury. All right, what's next?
Yeah. Let's go to Cy Young here. And again, it is a little bit tough because you look at those favorites and they're really, really appealing. Skubal on a repeat, Crochet going to Boston. I get it. I mentioned Cole Reagans as somebody for the strikeouts. Again, if you want to double dip, I get it. But he is 10-1, so you're really still playing a favorite there. Would have been so geeked to give you George Kirby if he wasn't hurt. And he can still win it because I don't believe that he's going to be out for a long time. That was the least scary of the injury news that we got recently with George Kirby. But I'm probably not going to do a six-month bet on somebody who's already injured. That's just not very prudent with your money. However, if you want to go to a teammate of his, Bryce Miller took a huge step forward last year. He developed a splitter to take care of lefties, and it really, really helped. He's 35-1. He's a bit of a long shot. They have five aces when everyone's healthy there, basically. But Bryce Miller and Brian Wu are kind of secondary to Gilbert and Kirby, but they're rising. And I do think Bryce Miller is a fun long shot there. Framber Valdez is a guy I just love. He churns out innings. He's still on a quality team. I know Houston traded Cal Tucker, but they did very well in that trade. I mentioned it with Isak Paredes earlier. Cam Smith, foreshadowing. I'll be talking about him in a moment. I think Framber Valdez could still get a Cy Young for sure as well. And then the Twins. Another guy at 17-1 like Framber is Pablo Lopez. Honestly, I like any – if you like a twin, frankly, I should probably say Bailey Ober over Lopez. In fact, let me switch that. Take Lopez off and go to Ober because they're not that different. They're kind of the Spider-Man pointing meme at each other in terms of their quality of skills. And yet Lopez is 17-1 and Bailey Ober is 100-1. So definitely get me over here. I did not see him on the board originally. Even Joe Ryan at 40, I would rather do than Lopez just because I'll take the better number when all three guys are the same. So those are the guys I like. In the NL, I didn't really land on anybody I like. The favorites are too strong. So I apologize for not really having a guy there. Spencer Schwalbach at 40, maybe. And then I hear the music, but Colson Montgomery at 25-1 in the Rookie of the Year and Cam Smith, 40-1 AL Rookie of the Year as well. I like two AL guys. NL, Matt Shaw, he's a favorite. Don't bet on him. It's too chalky.
Spectacular, Paul. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Great talking with you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
You too. Paul Spohr at Spohr, chock full of bets and his thoughts. Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game, un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, majestic downtown Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And resort means it has a concierge. That's what Steve Fezzik's ruling was. So
that's where you get called a resort?
Yeah, we had that conversation, and Fezzik weighed in. So
feels like an Ortega question.
That's a good point. Yeah. I didn't see Brian back there.
We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Jesse Welch. Good to know that Gilly's brother never read books in school. Hoping that if I'm ever going under the knife, that I don't have Gilly's bro reciting some cliff notes about brain surgery. Ah, well, he's not a brain surgeon, thankfully, for those. But I understand what you mean. I understand the point. He had shelves of cliff notes.
I don't even want, like, high school. High school was high school. College, though, man, did I do everything in my power to work around not going to class or studying. And by the time I hit my like junior year, Gil, I really figured out it was way easier if you just went to class every once in a while.
My line for college was, I wish somebody had told me I was there to learn something.
That's well put.
High school treated completely seriously academically. By college, I was just like, wait, what?
I was very cocky that I could just sit on my couch and like bet on sports and play poker and bet on Madden games and stuff like that and be like, I can teach myself that later. I've got the textbook.
There are girls here. What are you talking about? Okay, this is from James, the James Lloyd. Coming with the high heat today. Sporer coming with the high heat. He says, so white, and I'm on the Marlins. LOL. Brosec, 1870. Matty Cox hasn't been on the podcast, and in parentheses, never will be. Awkward. Don't worry. The profanity came in loud and clear on Sirius. I didn't say never would be. Todd at Canarsie Born 65. I'm just catching up on the show, and when Matty Cox described St. Joe's talent as sublime, I started wondering if he was really on a beach somewhere. Ben McGovern, as far as Spore's awards, he said Paredes 600-1 and Berger 100-1 at Circa for homers. How about that? Okay. Always shop. Steve the Proxy, very happy with his Missouri River Motorboaters gear. He says, yeah, I had to buy that merch.
Boaters.
The Motorboaters. Bobby Knuckles, I hear Circa has bug beds, Gilly Kelly. This is Rob Moreno, who actually works here. He says, you guys could just share a room, but I do wonder who gets top bunk. Use code VSID15, he said.
Gil gets top bunk. Actually, we're both scared of heights, so I don't know.
Not that high, though. It's got to be higher than
that. All right, good. The Gil gets top. I'd be worried about rolling out and just falling 6 feet, breaking my arm next year.
Oh, and Jesse Welch adds, I feel like Michael Kim is this year's version of the Gim Reaper from last season. I tailed you then, definitely tailing you now. What he's referring to is your obsession with Doug Gim on all of your model projections. Now it's about Michael Kim. Huh?
Wes is on Doug Gim this week. Jesse, for your sake and mine, let's hope it's not like Doug Gim last year.
Yeah. Where it didn't never came through.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah. Never panned out.
Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can catch him on Twitter at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He joins us now. Jason, first of all, good morning, sir. You are an alum, I'm assuming you graduated, from UC Irvine. The Big West tournament starts today. Does Irvine have a shot to spoil the Tritons' magic carpet ride to the NCAA tournament?
I am, in fact, graduate, barely, but I am. So Irvine's a pretty good team. I think this year San Diego has been the number one team in the Big West. Irvine's probably number two, if you ask anybody. But I don't know. I think it's slightly closer than expected. Wouldn't surprise me if San Diego versus Irvine is the final for the Big West, the championship this weekend. But am I optimistic about Irvine's chance of beating San Diego? Yes and no. I mean, I think they split the series this season during Big West play. But no, I'm not super confident Irvine's going to come out on top. I don't know that I'm going to have money on that potential game. But I am excited about the Big West tournament. I enjoy watching the Big West tournament because I'm a sick individual. I'll be paying attention to that, starting today.
My buddy's the AD at UC Riverside, so I have a competing interest. You were with Irvine, he's with Riverside, so we'll see. It would be, I'm one of those, Kelly asked me this yesterday, because I was all about Delaware stealing a bid for the NCAA tournament. They were 12-19, headed into their conference tournament. It would be a shame, just again, backing off the Riverside and Irvine, ties here. It would be a shame for UCSD not to get the win in the conference tournament and not get a bid into the big dance. That would kind of suck, I think. You wouldn't see it that way, but it's interesting how that stuff plays out, right? Because if they end up not going and say some also ran does, not the best outcome for the Big West Conference, I don't think.
Well, I mean, you got to win your conference tournament most of the time to get in.
They do here. They absolutely do here. Yeah.
Irvine basketball friends about it, and I was saying, I've seen bracketology people say the Big West deserves two bids this year potentially, and I just keep thinking, in what world is the NCAA going to give the Big West two bids over a major program? It's just not happening.
All right, baseball, did you add anything baseball betting wise?
I am slowly starting to add more futures, sort of like spring training itself, where the first week you're, throwing 20, 30, 40 pitches. Next week you're throwing a little more, and now all of a sudden you're up to 75. I'm getting up to my regular season pitch limit this week. I bet a couple more games. I watched a couple games this weekend. I'm getting more excited about baseball. I saw Paul Spohr mentioned Cam Smith, the potential, I think, third baseman outfielder for the Astros. Hasn't played more than, I think, 18 games above single A this season, or it is in his minor league career, excuse me. But the Astros are talking about him potentially breaking camp with the major league team. So I've seen his number as high as 45-1 yesterday, as low as 30-1 today. I think that's a number that's going to be on the move.
We're talking AL Rookie of the Year here, for those who didn't catch that.
AL Rookie of the Year, correct. And then in the National League, I kind of want to try to find somebody to bet. I have nothing serious here yet so far, but just sort of a matter of fact, like you look at Roki Sasaki pitching yesterday, he's going to pitch one of the two opening day games in Japan. This is going to be a very hard market to unseat Sasaki if he gets the innings, you know, 130, 140 innings, similar to what Skeens did last year. Would not surprise me to see back-to-back pitchers winning this award. So officially, I can find nothing worth betting in the NL Rookie of the Year market before the season starts.
Yeah, sounded like that's how Paul kind of came down on it as well. Mm-hmm. By the way, for those who missed all of Paul's picks, we'll recap them on the G-Bank Best Bets of the Day here coming up momentarily. Anything else besides Rookie of the Year markets that you're looking at?
I'm getting. I'm also getting more into the Cy Young stuff, and I told you I bet Sandy Alcantara. What really is interesting about that, though, is I just can't wrap my head around a situation where he's not traded, and he's likely not traded to the American League, because I can't imagine them trading him, you know, within the division or to the Dodgers. So it's likely going to be an AL team that ends up with Sandy, even potentially the Yankees or somebody in the AL East. So I'm not going crazy adding more to my Cy Young position, but I do like Sandy a lot because it has been confirmed by management that there is no innings limit. There will be no restrictions on him. So that's nice. But one of the things I wanted to point out with the Marlins, I think I called them losers a couple times, but yes. I looked more into it.
Yeah.
Their projected 40-man roster this year has played 2,868 games at the major league level. The Sacramento A's, which are the second youngest team in baseball, they've played 5,664 games at the major league level.
Wow.
So they're incredibly young. I think calling them losers might not be the best term, but when you kind of put it in context at how young and how inexperienced their roster is, I think inexperienced is probably a better word. But it wouldn't surprise me if this turns out to be the worst team in baseball, but below the White Sox, just because, you know, once you get rid of Sandy, there really isn't much talent here. By the way, the Dodgers lead MLB with experience and games played at 16,195. So that's an incredible, you know, gap between the Dodgers' experience team like the Marlins this year. So I'm actually looking at some other Marlins stuff. Marlins' worst record in baseball, definitely potential for me. Marlins' team total under is something I'm going to be looking at again this week. But I wanted to bring up something I noticed about the Marlins this week when I started diving into this stuff.
Why don't we, by the way, we talk about the NFL, we always talk about Coach of the Year, and it's widely available. Manager of the Year in baseball is not widely available, but some, I think FanDuel is the one that always has it up. Why don't we ever talk about that? Why don't we ever bet it? And if you did think about it, would there be someone you're thinking about right now?
I've looked at it, yes, but I have no idea how to really handicap it. It's kind of that and comeback player of the year. I just kind of...
Craig Counsell, the short shot right now, pardon me, for manager of the year. Tito Francona, second shot at 5-1. 4-1 on Counsell. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. We'll give you all the bets on the show next and more. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa. Brian Ortega regaling us with some Vegas information in our ears on the break.
Mm-hmm.
He's like having TripAdvisor in our ear. The host of the Concierge Confidential podcast for all your Vegas info needs.
He did bring up one good point, though, of the star ratings on hotels and places out here. It's, you don't get like five. There's only like a couple 5-star properties out here. I didn't know why. He was telling us because the number of rooms. Yeah. So it does slow down some service. believe me, you're going to come to Las Vegas. A lot of those four-star places are really nice to stay at.
And once my buddy Juan had a bachelor party in the Bahamas, and we ended up at some, how can I put this, not above board kind of place.
Yeah.
And I quipped very loudly. I wonder what TripAdvisor says about this place. So that was what Ortega would have told me everything right. about it. Steve Fezzik is live texting the show. He is he's not happy with me because when we did NL and AL, excuse me, not NL and AL, but when we talked about Major League Baseball Manager of the Year, I did not give the names of the teams of the two managers that I mentioned. So he is correct. The commercial was coming. Sorry, Stevie. But by the way, Steve the Proxy just texted this to us. Craig Counsell of the Cubs. For those who didn't know, 4-1 is the short shot. Tito Francona of the Reds, managing the Reds this year, 5-1. Davey Roberts of the Dodgers is at 8-1. So too is Carlos Mendoza of the Mets. And then I'll give you $20 if you could tell me who Derek Shelton is the manager of, also 8-1. That's the thing with baseball managers. When I was a kid, I could name them all. Now I can't. You can't really name all 30 managers for the team.
Give me the name one more time.
Derek Shelton. Someone's talking in your ear.
No, take it out. Okay. I'm going to go Arizona Diamondbacks.
That is incorrect. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
I would have got there eventually.
But Stevie's right, though. With baseball, not the casual fan. Like in NFL, you can name every coach, right? Yeah. No problem. Baseball now, there's a bunch of teams, I bet the casual fans. I bet the average baseball fan. Like Paul Sporer might hesitate on a couple teams.
A great job bringing this up, because yes. As you were listing the ones that I actually knew, I was like, man, I was thinking to myself, I don't know how many more than this I can name besides Gil naming the obvious ones right now.
Time for your G-Bank best bets of the day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. I got three tennis picks today. Sony Cartal +6.5 games against Aryna Sabalenka over there at Indian Wells, not taking her outright. She's over a $7 dog on the outright, but I'm taking her plus the games against Sabalenka. I got Bencic. Bencic versus Coco. Let's go, Belinda. -105 on Belinda Bencic. Taylor Fritz, number one ranked American player in the world, +111 against a great player in Jack Draper. So Fritz, a slight dog in that one. Those are the three tennis plays from Indian Wells. And then I made a baseball play today. The Minnesota Twins, most wins March, April at Circa at 15-1. And the sports book is specific here because their tiebreaker rules are different from others who offer this market. And it's also March, April. It's not just April. Kelly, you got a basketball
play. Yeah, one NBA play for me tonight. The Rockets laying 4 against the Suns coming into town. Rockets going to get Fred VanVleet back tonight. Expect them to look a little better than they have in recent weeks. But big game tonight. Suns kind of trying to chase a playoff spot here still.
The Rockets, he says. All right, and then we got a plethora of picks from others as well. Frozen. College hoops. Do you have Matty Cox's picks?
I do.
Yeah.
Georgetown laying 4.5 against DePaul today.
What did Cooley have to say about this?
Huh?
Georgetown's coach. What did he have to say about all this?
Something about dog bleep. Okay. Something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Seton Hall, 10.5, catching 10.5 against Villanova. Rutgers, +1 versus USC or Moneyline. And then a couple conference tournament outrights. Kent State to win the MAC +240. St. Joseph's to win the Atlantic 10, 8-1.
All righty. And then we got to JVT. JVT had some as well. Oh, I thought it was going to be me, but it's still you. Go ahead. Arkansas is taking the Razorbacks -2.5 against South Carolina as the SEC tournament begins today. What are they going to get? 35 bids in the NCAA tournament? Whatever it is.
Something like that.
Colorado State to win the Mountain West from JVT as well. The Mountain West tournament, which begins today, +350 on the Rams of Colorado State. I didn't think Ed Cooley would have a big starring role in today's show, but yet he did.
See, I'm going to bring it all back. The Athletics are screwing up our entire system.
Paul Sporer with a plethora of bets. Most regular season home runs, he's got 4 of them. Fernando Tatis Jr., 20-1. Brent Rooker of the Athletics, 30-1. Jake Berger, 65-1 of the Marlins. Isaac Paredes, most regular season home runs, 110-1. Strikeouts, Cole Reagans of the Royals, 25-1. Robbie Ray of the Giants, 45-1. And then for AL MVP, long time coming, Jose Ramirez at 15-1. Could this be the year he finally gets it? Spore is also on Trout to win AL MVP at 16-1. And Royce Lewis of the Twinkies at 65-1. Royce, if you could front load it for March, April, I'd appreciate it. NL MVP, Fernando Tatis, 8-1, Francisco Lindor 16-1, and Matt Olson at 40-1 are his picks there. AL Cy Young, Framber Valdez 17-1, and Bryce Miller at 35-1. Did he have an NL? Oh, one more AL. Bailey Ober 100-1. Cam Smith to win AL Rookie of the Year at 40-1. Wow, Spore coming strong. G-Bank, best. Oh, I'm sorry.
What team's the golfer playing for these days?
Cam Smith. Cam Smith.
Yeah. And Jason liked him too, right?
Yes, Jason liked him as well. We have any more? That was it.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
That's
Cam Smith was with the Astros, by the way. Okay. G-Bank, best bets, always brought to you by the official bank of VSIN, by the way. And don't forget, with G-Bank, they're upping the ante with up to $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSIN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. All right. You're an FSU alum, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of this. You went to FSU. I'm curious.
Baseball team now. Baseball school.
Baseball. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, because football and basketball have gone out the window. So, yeah, baseball school.
Total baseball school. But yesterday was the they did this whole bit with Leonard Hamilton. You know, it was after 23 years.
Oh, did they? Now I'm upset I missed that.
23 years as the head basketball coach at FSU. You know, sort of, you know, for those, there was a bunch of us watching with a sort of wry smile where we're like, really, 23? How did he last 23 years when in a sport where, let's use the Kevin Keats example, Kevin Keats at NC State got NC State to a Final Four last year. He got fired on Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you how, because he brought a nothing basketball team, basketball program back from the dead from, you know, what they were in the early 90s.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Brought them back from the dead. And then remember some of those ACC tournaments that they went out and won against loaded Duke and UNC teams?
He had great teams. He had great teams in sort of the late aughts and the early 10s. He got to a Sweet 16 in 2010, 2011 with Florida State.
I mean, Gil, when I was in school, the end of the aughts, as you often bring up, the...
Got to an Elite Eight in 2017, 2018. I forgot about that as well. Yeah,
I mean, like, when I was in school, it was the end of the Bobby Bowden era. Like, Bowden was there for another year or two, I think. No, he was there for three years while I was in school. If you remember the end of those years, though, they were terrible. It was awful football.
Right.
And that was when Leonard Hamilton had really turned around the basketball program, and it was... you could see it on the campus, man. Like, it was the entire... student body really starting to focus on basketball that they had been ignoring for 15 plus years.
That's a quality answer.
Impacted my college experience way more than I was expecting.
I love it. We'll accept it. I think that's a boots on the ground response.
And plus, at that time, I know the rules have changed a bit, but at that time, the arena was just enough off campus, Gil, and I mean like across the street from campus, that they served booze. So that was always a plus.
Lifetime winning percentage at Florida State 608. In the ACC itself, in conference, 526 winning percentage. So not great, but your point is still well taken.
Yeah, also one of those dudes that just constantly looked 20 years younger than he actually was.
Oh, looks so young for his age. Yeah.
And then Luke Laux, who played while I was there, he's going to be taking over. And he's been making the rounds in the NBA, Golden State assistant for a while, I believe, Sacramento assistant for a while. So he'll be coming in.
Of course, my favorite Leonard Hamilton memory is my connection to Leonard Hamilton when he guided the 2000-2001 Wizards to a 19-63 record. That was my favorite.
What was that? How long did he last in the NBA?
1 year.
1 year? It's like, one or two?
Yeah. 1 year. He took a break from FSU, I guess, to do that, or was it before FSU?
No, it was before.
Right before FSU. After Miami.
Was it in between Miami and FSU?
Yeah. Right after Miami, before FSU. That was a Wizards team that featured a washed-up Rip Hamilton, a washed-up Mitch Richmond, and a washed-up Christian Laettner. They were all washed up. I think Juwan got traded. Juwan Howard got traded midway through the season. Anyway, Leonard Hamilton, after 23 years at FSU, retiring, as FSU will not be in the tournament. Do you see how one of those games ended yesterday? It wasn't the FSU game, the Pitt game? How they lost with a foul. All those kids had to go home for the year.
Oh, it's based
on some fandom call. Anyway, they're playing college basketball already. College basketball all day long, thanks to Matty Cox and JVT on that sport and all the baseball today. All the golf from Kelly. Money Moves with Stormy is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.